You know the name Henry Nouwen? He was one of the spiritual giants of the 20th century. But his was not your typical path. As a young priest, he asked his bishop for permission to study psychology rather than theology. Eventually, he taught at both Yale and Harvard Divinity Schools. Over his lifetime, he published 39 books and hundreds of articles. He inspired a generation of seekers across denominations. And his whole life, he struggled with loneliness and depression. What gave this simple man his power was not the usual combination of bravado and shameless self-promotion that you see so often these days. Henry Nouwen didn't have a brand. I'm sure he never even thought about such a thing. But if he did have a brand, it would be brokenness. It would be humility. It would be a simple and heartfelt and long-suffering faith. 40 years ago, he wrote this little book, just 100 pages, called The Wounded Healer. Its premise is right there in the title, that we are all broken, that we all suffer, that being wounded is part of the human condition. And it asks the question, so what are we going to do about it? You know, I think that our culture tells us that we should hide our imperfections and push away those dark emotions. You know, put on a happy face, fake it till you make it. The way of the wounded healer is an entirely different approach. It says, go toward that which is painful. Get to know your own brokenness, because the only way out is through. Henry Nouwen writes, nobody escapes being wounded. We are all wounded people, whether physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. The main question is not how can we hide our wounds so we don't have to be embarrassed, but how can we put our woundedness in service of others? When our wounds cease to be a source of shame, he says, and become a source of healing, then we have become wounded healers. 50 years ago, at the start of a summer, did I say 50? Seems like it, maybe, but 15 years ago. 15 years ago, at the start of a summer of hospital chaplaincy training, I was anxious. And so at the start, I didn't plan this, but I confessed to my peers and our supervisors in that program that I was worried about what I was going to encounter there in the hospital, how all that suffering might unearth my own buried grief. I said to them, I have this fear that I could start crying and never stop. I know some of you have felt that way too, because you've told me. And one of the people there, one of our supervisors, this wise woman, she took this seriously and she said to me, yes, you will experience plenty of pain and sorrow on this path. But I promise you, you will also find companions on the way. Last Sunday, I talked about the importance of acknowledging that which is broken as a first step toward healing and transformation. And once that we see what's broken, then, of course, comes the work of dealing with it, right? And this can take a long time. It's easy to put it off because we might fear, what am I going to unearth? But you know, don't you, says the procrastinator, procrastination just makes it harder. Franz Kafka said, you can hold yourself back from the sufferings of the world. This is something you are free to do, and it accords with your nature. But perhaps this very holding back is the one suffering you could have avoided. Because holding back is its own kind of suffering. The invitation is to move forward toward what is broken, rather than trying to avoid it. I'm not saying this is easy, and I'm not advocating seeking after pain or glorifying suffering. I'm just saying that we need to practice facing what we've been often taught to avoid. The goal is to move through it and make good use of it. You heard this in our reading this morning, Durkheim's call to us to be people on the way. He writes, the person who is really on the way, when she finds herself in hard times, will not, as a consequence, turn to that friend who offers her only refuge and comfort and encourages her old self to survive. Rather, she will seek out someone who will faithfully and inexorably help her to risk herself so that she may endure the suffering and pass courageously through it, thus making of it a raft that leads to the far shore. Only to the extent that people expose themselves over and over again to risk and discomfort can that which is indestructible arise within us. In this lies the dignity of daring. Think about it. What do you do when you are suffering? Most of us are taught that the proper response is to try to make the pain go away. You know, there's this huge industry in our country for pain relief. And I will confess that when I have a headache, I am so grateful for that bottle of ibuprofen in my desk and in my glove compartment in my car, and I'm not ashamed to take it. But when my heart is aching, when I get in touch with the brokenness inside, what do? Too often I wonder, what's wrong with me? And then I can feel bad because I'm feeling bad, because I'm aware there are other people who have much worse troubles. But I should be asking a different question. What is this about? What is my soul trying to tell me? What would happen if I sat with my sadness and tried to listen for what it wants to say? When the writer Brené Brown came back to church, she said, I thought faith was going to say, I'll take away the pain and the discomfort. But what it ended up saying was, I'll sit with you in it. Brené Brown says, I thought church was going to be like an epidural, but it wasn't that. It was a midwife. It just stood there next to me and said, push. It's supposed to hurt a little bit. One of the things I love about you here in this church, in addition to being good singers most of the time, is that you're real. You're down to earth. You don't have a lot of pretense. You aren't afraid to tell the truth about your struggles. And that is something to be celebrated. But I wonder, have you thought about putting your brokenness to work? Have you considered that your struggles, your hard-won wisdom, might be something that you can use to help others and to help heal our world? When we work with our pain and with our suffering, when we make of it a raft that leads to that far shore, we're not doing this just for ourselves. How many of us have vowed that we will not pass along the dysfunction or pain that we have experienced, that we will not pass this on to our children and grandchildren? When we deal with our own brokenness, then we break that painful cycle and we open the way to new and more life-giving possibilities. We are all wounded people in one way or another. The question is, what are you going to do about this? Are you going to be one of those walking wounded? Or are you going to work with your wounds and metabolize your pain and make of your suffering that raft that leads to the far shore? So you can use what you've experienced in service of others, so you can be a wounded healer. I believe we all have this power to be healers, not in spite of our wounds, but because of them. Because we've worked with them and learned from them, have developed a deeper capacity, a bigger heart, a wiser soul, stronger and more loving arms. When we see our brokenness not as something to hide or be ashamed of, but as an opening, a portal through which we can walk to a deeper, more authentic, more open-hearted way of living, then we are on our way. When we take what we have been taught to hide or push away and see it as the way through, then we are becoming wounded healers. And there is a surprising power in this. It's the quiet power that Henry Nouwen had in his life, and it's how he touched so many people. But he would tell you that this way is not without risk. He said, "Who can save a child from a burning house without taking the risk of being hurt by the flames? Who can listen to a story of loneliness and despair without taking the risk of experiencing similar pains in his own heart and even losing his own precious peace of mind? In short, who can take away suffering without entering it?" The great illusion of leadership, Nouwen says, is to think that man can be led out of the desert by someone who has never been there. The good news is, as we walk through this wilderness, we won't be alone. We will sense that we have what Martin Luther King called cosmic companionship. We will know that we are part of a love that will never let us go. And as that wise woman said to me, you will find companions on the way. More good news is that there is joy in this. It's not all grim, this journey of embracing our brokenness. There's liberation that comes from facing what you fear rather than avoiding it, in living more authentically the life that is your own. Ram Dass said, "We are all just walking each other home. We are all just walking each other home. This is who we are and how we're meant to live. Taking up this vocation of addressing our own wounds and then using that to help others." So take heart, my friends. The pain that you have experienced in life can be, with work and with grace, transformed into power to help heal and bless our world. This is our calling, to work with what we have been given, to be on the way together, singing as we go, walking each other home. Amen.